Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us. We're reading this book by Johnny Erickson Tada called Beside Bethesda, and today she continues with her story. One morning, Ken and I were out and about to go to our offices at Johnny and Friends when he caught a look in my eye and perceived that I had a physically painful day ahead of me. He opened the front door, then stopped in his tracks. "Wait a moment," he said, and ran back into the house. He came back with a large yellow sticky note on which he had inscribed a big capital C with a black marker. Then he placed it on my chest over my heart. "What's this?" I asked. "It's C for courage. You've got courage, Johnny. I can see it in your eyes. You're going to make it today. You're going to do it, and I'm praying for you. You've got the courage of Christ." Oh, wow, was that ever encouraging? Hopeful words, and to hear them from my husband. As strange as it may sound, he and I were grateful for the disability, for the chronic pain, and yes, even for the cancer that invaded our lives in 2010. Why? Were we masochists who enjoyed suffering? No, of course not. It's because all of these things help us stay hungry for the bread of heaven and thirsty for the living water. They remind us that courage doesn't flow from our own reservoirs of strength and character, but from the living Christ who makes his home within us. Our own wells of courage might be dry as dust, but the courage of Jesus flows on, leaping, sparkling, and fresh like a spring-fed mountain stream. Our bouts with physical or emotional suffering keep waking us up out of our spiritual slumber as we find ourselves. Trouble and hardship are textbooks that repeatedly instruct us who we really are and remind us that we aren't the towers of strength or the paradigms of virtue as sometimes people like to imagine. Suffering sandblasts us, stripping us of our sinful ways, leaving us raw and exposed so that we might be better bonded to the Savior. The best courage in times of crisis isn't the kind we siphon out of the tepid, shallow pools at the bottom of our soul. For one thing, that courage will never last. The best courage is the kind that has been channeled from heaven itself. And our verse is, "For my people have done two evil things. They have abandoned me, the fountain of living water, and they have dug for themselves cracked cisterns that can hold no water at all." Jeremiah 2:13. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are a sick and dying world, and we pray for the mom who has the sick boy. We pray for the family that is losing everything. Lord, we also pray for ourselves that we don't lose sight of your love and your sustaining power, and that only you can give us courage. And we pray for our nation. We pray for our show. We thank you, Lord. All this we pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. Well, I have to go back to one of my favorite things to do, and that is to study rainbows. And I first start with looking at a rainbow that's already prescribed. You know, it already has all the spectrums on it. And we talk about light. This is great for chemistry when you're studying about light. So you can use it for upper graders. You can use it for the lower graders. Just the sheer joy of rainbows. We love rainbows. And be sure if you see a rainbow that you take a picture of it for future reference. So today we're going to make a couple of things out of toilet paper rolls. One is we're going to make like pretend eyeglasses. So you take two paper rolls, you put them together, and then you put the strips of paper that match the rainbow on them. and tie a ribbon to it, and the kids can look through things at it. It's just a simple toy-like thing. And the other one is taking maybe longer rolls and putting the rainbow on it, and put like cotton balls at one end for a cloud, and maybe put a little hat with some glitter so that it looks like the rainbow has ended into the hat. And you can make them into rain sticks as far as filling them with some beans or something, and you know, taking some masking tape and really make it so those beans and stuff stay inside. But on the outside, then you have a rainbow with a little cloud on one end, a little pot of gold on the other. It's a fun, just a fun rainbow kind of activity that you can tie in with March if you choose. Whatever you do, have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. We are still investigating online, all-in-one homeschool curriculums. And this one that I'm reviewing today is called Power Homeschool Services. It's cool because you could just pick one course, they call that tutoring, or you can pick seven courses. And I think it's quite reasonable. I'd like you to check it out for yourself. You might not feel the same way. It's powerhomeschool.org, all spelled out, powerhomeschool.org. The cool thing about anything that's online like that is you as the teacher can always remember you do not have to accept the grades that they give. You can actually generate your own transcripts and generate your own grades. But you give your children the ability to be exposed to a very rich learning environment, even if you just choose one or two classes. Like you might just want to choose the math for your upper grades because maybe that's not your strong point. So you might want to consider something like this. And Power Homeschool is what we're talking about today. Power Homeschool. PowerHomeschool.org. Questions parents ask. This question comes from Angela, and she's the mother of a 17-year-old. She wants to know what consequences you have for your 17-year-old that is repeatedly lying. Well, there's a couple of things happening here. First of all, you have to take in consideration the age and maturation of your child. If they're a boy, they're probably not as mature as if they were a girl, but it could be. Also, if you've brought them up in a culture of behavioralism, behavioralism is where if you do this, then this will happen, and if you do this, then this will happen, that is still on a very low moral developmental level. If you look at Kohlberg's level of moral development, you want to bring that 17-year-old up to where they're managing themselves. They have a very high lotus of self-control. You know, their center is within themselves. So the lying is a big problem because you're not going to be able to fix it with a consequence. I'm sad to say if your child by 17 is repeatedly lying, it's a heart problem that only the Holy Spirit can rectify. You can't. You've done your job for 17 years. You were working on that kind of thing. Now, I know that's probably not the answer you like to hear, but it's the truth. So what consequences? The natural consequences of lying are probably the best. You as a family can say, you know, we can't have you not telling the truth around here. So at this point now, you need to take responsibility by beginning to do, you know, be your own. If that's how you're going to be and you're going to be your own person, then this is what you're not going to be provided in this house. We're not going to pay your car insurance, or we're not going to be, you know, providing you with a vehicle. You need to go out and get your own vehicle. And those kinds of adult things, the consequences must be adult in nature because your child is almost an adult. So you have a pretty tough row to hold there if your child is repeatedly lying and they're 17 years old. We have one more question from a parent who says that their mother is always involving herself in how they raise the kids. And it's her mother-in-law, which makes it more difficult. And she's sick and tired of it. Well, you can say, just don't be around people who are toxic and that person's toxic to you. You really can't say that. It's your mother-in-law. And out of respect and love for your husband, you need to have as good a relationship with your mother-in-law as you possibly can have. So the only other option you have is to grow a thick skin. You know, the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. It says that you will not be offended easily. These are all biblical principles, and you need to take them to heart even with your mother-in-law and say, I hear what you say, or thank you for your input, and then move on with what you need to do. And it's as simple as that, because you have to keep that relationship going with your mom. Well, take my advice for whatever it's worth. We've come to the end of this part of our show. We're still talking about sibling rivalry, and we're going to finish out an interview that we started yesterday. So I hope you'll come back. We'll be right back. Like a little child, the toddler stood looking out at the waves. He seemed mesmerized. As he dashed toward the water, his father followed. As the waves rolled toward him, the toddler ran back. Then he noticed the 2-foot cliff of sand behind him. He ran to it and tried to climb up, but with every tiny foothold, the sand gave way. He tried harder, grabbing the top of the cliff with his hands and then going to another part of the cliff. It was no use. With frustration, he cried and flung himself at the cliff, face into the sand. He wanted up, but how? His father came behind him and carved some steps out of the sand. The toddler still needed his feet guided into the etched steps, and his father held his hands under the toddler's feet to ensure that he would make it to the top. In 2 seconds, the toddler was at the top and running on the smooth plateau of sand with his father running behind him. I watched this spiritual experience between father and son, the toddler's sense of self-accomplishment and the father's amusement. Like a little child, the spiritual journey of infants and toddlers. For more information, go to homeschoolcompanion.org.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and we're talking about sibling rivalry. This is a phenomena that is as old as this earth's history, because we can look back at Cain and Abel and see the results of sibling rivalry. I think we can take it a step further. If we look at Jesus and we look at Lucifer, even though they were not both sons of God, Lucifer certainly wanted that role. And so the rivalry part, whether it's sibling rivalry or any type of rivalry, God looks at it with sadness. And I didn't realize this until I saw the rivalry among my own children and the rivalry now among my grandchildren. Do you know that it makes me happy when my children are getting along and playing? Well, my grandchildren now are getting along and playing, and I hear their voices, whether I'm in the car with them or whether we're on a walk with them. I hear their voices talking with each other, laughing and playing, and I just feel so happy. And then when I see them fighting and arguing, I feel so sad. And I really believe that God is the same way. You know, He's created us for His joy, and He wants us to be happy and happy with each other. So we've been talking about sibling rivalry and birth order, and now I want to talk about sibling rivalry and blended families. We have more and more blended families, so we definitely have more potential for sibling rivalry in blended families. It might start with the young children fighting over toys or fighting for your attention, but it can also arise because the step-siblings don't really like or welcome these other kids becoming part of their lives. It may create jealousy, and jealousy is a hard thing to combat because if you're jealous of someone, the nicer they are and the more perfect they are, the more jealous you become because you just feel like you can't live up to their standard. So regardless of the reasons for this sibling rivalry, parents in blended families really have to work on this. And we're going to talk a little later in the program about it, about ways that you can do it. But let's begin by looking at how the Bible says to handle sibling rivalry. So we're going to start with Cain and Abel. They were the first siblings that were rivals in the Bible. And then there's Esau and Jacob, very apparent that they were rivalries. And Leah and Rachel, they were rivals. And what about Joseph and his brothers? And Abimelech and his brothers? In each case, the sibling rivalry led to one or both siblings doing the wrong thing. For example, Cain and Abel. Cain murdered Abel. That's a horrible result of sibling rivalry. And Esau and Jacob, it began a long legacy of dishonesty, and to this day, those countries are a result of that initial sibling rivalry. Now, Joseph, his brothers did an ill-advised thing against him, which God turned it around for good. But God could have still brought it about without the brothers having Joseph's blood, even though it was the goat's blood, on their hands, so to speak. So when you think about it, sibling rivalry should not be left unchecked. And who better than the parents to take care of it? So God has a lot of advice about it. He desires that siblings live in harmony and love with each other. You can read that in Psalms 133:1. Brotherly love is used as an example. And we know it's, you know, we're talking about sibling rivalry, but we know that the connection between siblings is considered the strongest of all connections, even more than a husband and wife. So you have these two sides of one coin. You have the strong connections that you can have with siblings, and then you have the sibling rivalry. And sometimes the child is so conflicted because they know they love that that sibling fiercely, but at the same time, they're so jealous. So you as the parent really have the key to this. It's a parent's job to raise children to be Christ-like. It's a parent's job to help that child look at Jesus. Jesus gave us the two most important commandments were to love God and to love our neighbors. And we know that neighbors mean that person that's in the bed next to you or that person that's across the hall from you. Love covers all wrongs, and that includes sibling rivalry. So whether the sibling rivalry stems from jealousy, selfishness, or parent partiality, and that can be real or perceived, we as parents have to work on it. And teachers, too, can do a lot to support a parent. So I'm going to finish this show with just some strategies for keeping the peace and helping alleviate the tensions that sibling rivalry bring. First of all, have family meetings. If there's been an issue, have a family meeting about it and look for some strategies that your children can think up. It might be as simple as, well, he needs to keep his side of the bedroom clean, like I'm keeping my side of the bedroom clean. Or he needs to keep his clothes in his drawer and not take clothes out of my drawer. You know, it's just a matter of let's look at some things that will be respectful. That's number one, thinking of a solution within a family meeting. Number two, no partiality. Parents, not that you treat everyone the same, but you're not partial. And if a child feels that you like someone more than you like them, you need to talk about it and say, what can I do that will help show you how much I love you? Pray together. Pray about this because it's wounding the heart. You know, this sibling rivalry is a nice way of saying that somebody could be bullying and someone could be bullied in your home. Study God's word together. And you and your spouse need to model cooperation, unselfishness, the fruits of the Spirit, and ways to solve problems. Make your home a cultural center of mutual respect. I respect you. I respect your things. You respect me. You respect my things. I respect your thoughts. You respect my thoughts. We give people turns in our family. And then when it's needed, discipline redemptively. That means that your discipline is such that your children know that you're not just beating on them because you're angry. You have creative ways of taking care of things so you don't have to be spanking them. And you're using and leveraging the things that you know they like to do. For example, be on technology or go for a walk. And so you take the positive side of it and you say, look, at what we're going to do here is when we have an evening where we all get along, we're going to mark it on the calendar. And when we have so many of those peaceful indications that we had a peaceful evening where there was no fighting, then we're going to do something special as a family. Go for a walk, go to the park, doesn't have to cost any money, but it will certainly change the whole tenor of your family and peace will begin to reign. After all, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. You can find that beautiful, beautiful instruction from God placed in Philippians 2, 3, and 4. And if we all lived by that, what a peaceful, lovely existence we would have. There would be no more sibling rivalry. But unfortunately, you as parents have to take the lead and you can do a lot to influence your family. Well, I've taken up way too much of your time. We've been discussing sibling rivalry. It's a topic close to my heart because I see the damage that it does if it's left unchecked. Well, thank you for listening to us. You know, I hope as you heard us talk about our siblings, you realize what a precious gift they are, that God has given us our siblings as a providential thing. It's not just by chance. So go throughout the day, love your sister, love your brother, and I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.